Proverbs pillar principles through the book of Proverbs. And so Proverbs chapter number 23, we'll read in just a moment. First, the ladies are going to sing for us.
By the pool of Bethesda, a man laid lame day and night. This close to healing, but no one came to his side. Then one day a man named Jesus came with healing just for him. And his actions of compassion made a miracle of him. And how many miracles have you walked past today? How many chances have you let just slip away? You have healing power in your hands. Have you compassion in your heart? How many miracles have you walked past today? In this wicked world we live in, souls are dying every hour. But no one who knows Jesus wants to share his healing power. Don't you remember long ago when it was you there by the pool and someone with compassion made a miracle of you? And how many miracles have you walked past today? How many chances have you let just slip away? You have healing power in your hands. Have you compassion in your heart? Tell me, how many miracles have you walked past today? And how can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we ever show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. Tell me, how many miracles have you walked past today? Tell me, how many miracles have you walked past today?
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that good song. I believe Katie Dingus wrote that song, and that is a wonderful truth in that song. Proverbs chapter number 23 in your Bibles, and if you need a Bible, I encourage you to use the one there in the center of your pew to follow along as we read the Word of God together and see what the Word of God has for us tonight. Verse number 1, the Bible says this: when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and loose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for the Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell, my son. If thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice. Thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Let me just stop right there. I love how Solomon says, give it to me, son. The world wants your heart. Can I say, as a young person, as a child, as a teenager, there's many things that is pulling for your child's heart. Best thing that they can do is to give it to their parents. Amen? Not to some boyfriend, not to some girlfriend as a teenager. That's silly. Solomon says, give me thine heart, son, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Boy, those are good questions, right? Then it answers it. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Here it is, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Yet when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. This chapter is slap full of biblical truth. And we could spend a little time looking at a lot of these different verses. But I want to hone in really on just one particular verse. And that is Proverbs 23, verse 23, where it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. To be honest with you, if you'll get that verse down, the rest of these verses will just fall in place. Buy the truth and sell it not. Tonight, I want to look at this subject, buying versus renting. Buying versus renting. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the thought that you've placed on my heart for your people for this time. Lord, we are commanded from your word to buy the truth and to not sell it. Lord, there are some things that are not worth selling that are not for sale. Lord, there are some things in your word that you take very seriously that, Lord, we also need to as well. God, I pray that you would please use this simple truth. I pray that you'd lodge this message deep in our hearts, that we may think on it and ponder it and consider it, Lord, even in the days ahead. Lord, we pray that you would please fill me with your power. Lord, in and of myself I will fail you, and Lord, I know that. Lord, I need your help. I can't preach in and of myself. Lord, I could attempt to do so, but it ain't going to help anybody. And so, God, I pray that you would please use me, fill me, and Lord, I pray that you'd accomplish exactly what you want done through the reading and preaching of your word tonight. We'll be sure to thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Buying versus renting. In this chapter, Proverbs 23, as I said, there's so much biblical truth that we could take and break down each individual verse. But if you were to just overview the whole chapter, the first 16 verses or so is dealing with our living. And if you were to read those again, you could see how that all plays out, talking about when you're sitting at a table, when you're speaking, when you're living, applying thine heart unto instruction, deals with our living. And then verses 17 down through verse number 28 deals with our loving. And if you were to read those again after hearing that, you would see how Solomon is relating to his son of what gets your heart. What do you go after, son? And then the latter part of the verses deals what we allow to control us, what is controlling us, and obviously that is dealing with alcohol and how that's not wise for anyone to consume, but especially a born-again child of God. And in the pillar principle for this chapter here, though, as I've already said, if we'll get verse 23 down where he says to buy the truth and sell it not, Solomon is teaching his son, and ultimately he's saying, son, I want the very best for you. I'm teaching you what I have already experienced, and if you'll buy into this, don't sell it, don't rent it for just a time and then throw it away, but if you'll buy into this, it'll make your life far better. And I believe that is true in our spiritual lives. There has to come a point in time in each and every one of our lives that we have to buy the truth and choose to not sell it. I believe this pillar principle, obviously I've preached many weeks on the book of Proverbs, and we've looked at the importance of wisdom, and wisdom is so vitally important. We must have God's wisdom. He wants to give it to all men liberally. He says if you'll ask, he'll do that. But I believe this principle of buying the truth and selling it not is of utmost importance as well. And so let me give you a few thoughts concerning this text, and we'll go to the house tonight. Number one, I want you to notice this concerning buying versus renting. Number one, buying produces security while renting produces stress. Buying produces security while renting produces stress. Again, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. He relates this when he talks about buying the truth. In essence, he relates it to a business transaction. It's going to cost you something. It's going to inconvenience you. You're going to feel this. It's going to involve some effort. If you're going to buy the truth, if you're going to hold on to this truth, it's going to cost you something in this life. Whenever you have a business transaction, that's why I like to pay with cash, because you feel that transaction. Amen. Nobody pays with cash anymore. I think you should. I think you should carry cash. I think it's a good move. And for several reasons, I could give you my own personal opinion, but you feel that transaction when you pay with cash. You give somebody a $100 bill, man, it's like, hold on, don't take it from me. But you swipe a card, man, you can swipe it easy, can't you? And so buying the truth, it's a business, it's relating to a business transaction. In real estate, you obviously know this. If you have purchased a home, you know it's a long-term goal to buy a home. It's a better long-term plan than renting long-term. We know that. Why? Because obviously rent's going to continue to go up, right? And are y'all with me tonight? I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Thank you, church. I feel like I'm preaching to myself here sometimes. Buying long-term, but I'm all distracted now. I apologize. There's a place for renting, right? Young couple, don't have any money, save a down payment. There's a place for that. There's a place to place for renting as a young couple. There's a time for that, but ultimately, long term, you want to buy. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. To be able to buy a home of your own, be able to have that home. And I'm thankful that we've been able to do that. I'm thankful that you, as a church, that's something you have thought of in our salary to be able to provide that. I do appreciate that. And I remember our very first house we purchased over on Jefferson Street. We owned it for 9 years. The last 3 or 4 years we owned it, I was a landlord, and I wanted to try that out, and it went really well. We had two tenants in that time, and they took good care of the place. I had a good experience. We obviously sold that, and it worked out. It worked out fine. But I remember talking about a place for renting, and it's not good long term, man. The thing about renting is you're going to something goes wrong, you have somebody to call. Amen. You have a landlord to call. We were sitting at the Thanksgiving table, whatever year that was, and man, getting ready to eat turkey dinner, and then all of a sudden I get the call from my tenant. And so I answer it reluctantly, and they said that they had a clogged drain. I'm thinking, man, couldn't this wait till tomorrow? But he said he had a clogged drain, and so I had two options. One, I could either go try to fix it, and that wouldn't have worked out well. Or I could call the plumber on Thanksgiving, and that doesn't work out well either. But it was a blessing for him to be able to just call his landlord. That's a benefit of renting, okay, per se. Obviously, buying, you're responsible for those repairs. However, disadvantage of renting is rent's always going to go up. You're giving someone else that money to build equity in their home, and obviously there's a place for that for a time, but ultimately you want to buy. And there's buying. Buying all has blessings. It has benefits. When you buy, you obviously have a fixed payment, and man, that chances are isn't going up unless Illinois decides to increase our taxes again. It may good fluctuate just a little bit, but ultimately that's going to be fixed, and that's a wonderful thing. Also, historically, buying in real estate gives you value in your home long term, and it's going to go up in value. There's great security in buying, because once you get that thing paid off, man, it's yours. And that's a blessing. You can say you own that thing, unless you don't pay your taxes, and you don't ever own it. So there's some benefits, there's some blessings to buying physically, but I believe even more so buying spiritually. There's some things that are not for sale. Renting has its place spiritually, I believe, as well. What I mean by that is, when our children are young, it's okay for them to rent to our religion. I guarantee you, if we were to talk to some of these children, the youngest ones in here, and say, hey, why do you come to church? And chances are their answers would vary greatly. It's probably not to sit and hear the preaching of the Word of God from pastor. Okay? But it could be, Brother Benji's fun to be around, and he has a good time in Super Church. It could be that pastor's got a big old candy bucket in his office that they come visit every church service. It's going to vary. So what are they doing? In essence, as a young child, they're renting religion. Renting off of your relationship with God. That's why they're here. But there has to come a point in all of our children's life that they buy into this. They buy into it. When does that happen? Well, obviously it happens that we want our children sometime as they're growing to come to realization that they're lost and need to be saved, and they trust Christ as their Savior, and gradually as they grow in grace and they add to their faith, this thing becomes real to them as well. The reason you're sitting here tonight is because at some point in time down the line, adult, you had to buy into this thing that, man, Jesus loves me, He died for me, I trust Him, and now I want to live for Him, I want to serve Him, I want to be more like Him, I want to be Christ-like. We have to buy the truth and sell it not. There's some things that, so I've used the phrase that everything I got is for sale for the right price. That's really not true. There's some things that I wouldn't sell. There is. I've got in my gun safe some guns that they're not for sale. I mean, they're very special to me. From where they've come from or how they've been given to me, they're not for sale. There are some other things down the line that are not for sale, and that's how it needs to be with our relationship with Christ and what the Word of God teaches. There's some things that can't be for sale, and here's the problem. I believe the reason sometimes adults struggle, and I believe we rent, if you will, instead of buying in, because the first time something bad happens in our life, we throw it all out. And our world falls apart. But if we truly have bought into this, and we have a relationship with Christ, and we're loving Him and growing with Him, then even the very worst thing that could happen in our life would not cause us to throw it all away. It's important that we buy the truth. Not just some of the truth. You see the text, he didn't say buy just some of the truth. Buy the truth. You know, we're told in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. Now listen, it's important that we buy the truth. And so buying brings security. Renting causes stress. Let me give you number two quickly. Buying pleases your superior. Notice the Bible, it says in verse number 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. The father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. When we buy the truth, it pleases our Heavenly Father. It pleases as a child and a teenager when you see your child coming and growing in the Lord. Parent, doesn't that please you? You see where it says that thy father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. If you're happy when your children, man, they memorize Bible verses, they come to the altar, you see them reading their Bible, and even the worst of people that are backslidden on God, if they see that in their child, they're like, man, I'm so happy my child is following the Lord. You're thankful for that. That's a promise from the Word of God that your parent will be glad. And if you're glad for your child, how much more is our Heavenly Father glad when we grow in our relationship with Him? Buying the truth. Every time the Word of God is preached and you respond to a message, I can't tell you what that does to me as your pastor when you respond to the Word of God and you come to an altar and you pray. I'm thankful for those. Listen, I've told our teenagers this, and they're very good about it. And they could just be doing it for me, but I think it's more than that. But man, when preaching happens, they respond. Be good for us adults to learn that as well. You say, well, I can't go to that altar. We should try. This altar is a special place where we come before God, and it's a place of sacrifice. And we get honest before God. You say, well, I can do that on my seat. You can. But there's something special about not caring who sees. It's you and God. And it encourages the man of God, whether it's me standing behind this pulpit or somebody else. When nobody moves, it's like, they missed it. God, either they missed it or I missed it, one of the two. Brother Hart, am I right? Yes, sir. So church, be sensitive to that. If God speaks to your heart, make a move. Why? When you buy the truth, it pleases your Heavenly Father. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. And so when we buy the truth, it pleases our superior. Number lastly here, buying places safeguards in our life. Notice the text. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Then he says in verse number 26, my son, give me thine heart. When we buy the truth and sell it not, we're also adding, you see that, also adding wisdom and instruction and understanding. Wisdom, what is that? That's seeing things from God's perspective. Instruction, we obviously know what that is. We need that in our life. It teaches us. That's the Word of God. And then there's understanding. Understanding is obtained knowledge through experience. We need these safeguards in our life, and the only way we get it is by buying the truth and selling it not. And so the question tonight is very simple. Are we buying or are we renting? You know how you really know if you've bought in? Is when things do come in your life, it doesn't move you. It may shake you, but it doesn't move you. When a preacher preaches something that steps on your toes, you don't get offended over it. You bought it. You say, well, that's truth. All of it's truth. And so you make the necessary adjustment. That's the determination, something we all have to figure out where we're at. Have we bought this thing or are we just renting it? Time will tell for each and every one of us. There comes a point that we all have to buy the truth. And it needs to be so precious to us that it's not for sale. Nothing will change the way that I feel about the Word of God. Nothing will change about what I have been taught as far as the teachings from the Word of God. Those things that I have applied to my life, my circumstances will not change that. My situation, although it could get very difficult, will not change that if I've bought into the truth. It doesn't change it. You say, well, we'll see. I guess we will. We all have to. We have to see. One day we will be challenged on that. Life will happen. Something will be preached or said, and we'll see. Were you buying or renting? It's a very sobering thought to think that, man, something so simple I could throw it all away. No. I want to buy the truth and sell it not. I don't want to throw in and just rent something so precious. After what God has done for me, He's been so good to me. He's blessed me above measure. He takes care of my every need. I told somebody today, I will never apologize for God's blessings on my life. I will never apologize. Because if I follow the Word of God as He says to do so, things are going to come. They will. If I do what He says concerning living and giving and going, blessings come. And I don't have to apologize for that. I get to enjoy it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. The Bible says He daily loads us with benefits. Why wouldn't I want to buy into that? And just trust. His Word says to do this, I'm going to do it. There ought to be nothing that a man of God could preach out of that book that causes you to throw it all away. Nothing. And so I don't agree with everything. Well, you're wrong. Amen? You're wrong. This is the Word of God. And church, I'm just challenging you to buy in. Buy in. It's always better long term to buy physically, but spiritually as well. Children, teenagers, even teenagers, it's okay to rent for a little while. Follow mom and dad. There has to come a point. You make it your own. Make it your own. And then when mom and dad may go crazy and lose their ever-loving mind. But if you bought it, it'll change nothing. So you're buying or renting. When mom and dad's gone to heaven, if you bought it, it'll change nothing. But if we're renting, things will change. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight.